Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you guys read the Olivia Benson Alex Cabot fanfic slash fic?
Oh yeah, I actually did a PowerPoint presentation about
it. So good.
You come to the right podcast.
I'm diking out, you're diking out. Let's dike out together. See what it's all about.
Diking out.
Hi, and welcome to Diking Out, a podcast that is a little grumpy, a lot cozy, and you can't get enough of it. Just like Bernie Sanders on Inauguration Day, I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with comedian, writer, and podcaster Kai Choice about women who kill.
Ooh.
But first, some announcements.
Yeah, we had our Patreon hang this weekend, and if you want to join our Patreon community for all the perks like virtual hangs, ad-free episodes, extra content, our fun Facebook group, and a lot more, you can go over to patreon.com/dikingout.
And if you haven't already, please head on over to Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes, and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps a lot.
That Patreon hang was so fun, as usual. I feel like it's always closing out the bar when we do it.
I know.
It's like we start, everybody logs in on time, we have a lot of punctual dykes, and we're talking, and then like time flies, we don't realize how long it's been going on, and like people start like dropping off the hang, and then I'm like, well, I guess my computer battery is at 3% and there's only 4 of us left, so bye everyone. I'm like, but I don't want to end this, I just want to keep talking to
We went well over the hour. It was almost 2 hours.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was very closing time, and just like my 20s, I was closing out that bar.
Right. Always a good time. How's it going, Melody?
Hey.
What's going on with you?
Hey, you know, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah?
Yeah. And by that, I mean, I went up on my antidepressants. So,
hey, congratulations. Hey,
feeling a little better. I'm on, you know, like 50,000 units of vitamin D, feeling good.
Great.
It's like, what is going on? How are you? Are you still in this hotel room?
I'm still in the hotel room, despite my Zoom background of young Fran Lebowitz behind me. I am at the hotel so much longer than we thought we would be. You know, I've gone from like at the beginning of the move, just being like, maybe men are good for something, because moving, you have men carrying heavy boxes that I don't want to carry. And I'm like, good for them. Look at them fulfilling their purpose in life of carrying heavy things from point A to point B for me. And then also when the work started being done on the house, I'm like, oh, all these guys who are coming, they're so nice and they're getting stuff done and they're handling the plumbing and whatnot. And now I am back to just hating all men.
Yeah.
Except for my friends. Yeah. They are terrible. They're so shitty to deal with. It's really taking a turn. Cecilia and I, we just want to be in our home. So, you know, instead we're just watching a lot of the news.
Yeah.
Watching inauguration. That was
fun. Already? Oh, see, I'm like, what even happened this week?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right. We have a new president. That's fun. Bernie Sanders.
I can't get enough. I truly, truly can't get enough of the memes.
It's really gone crazy. Like, in terms of memes, this one spread wider and faster than COVID. It was just, I was impressed. I'm like, where do people find the time for this? I wish I could have gotten in on it.
People care more about producing Bernie memes than putting masks on. It is, like, truly bigger than COVID.
Right, right. And then I was delighted and not surprised at all to hear that those mittens were made by a lesbian teacher in Vermont.
I know. So perfectly on brand. You know,
and there would be no meme without the mittens.
No.
So, you know, Dykes getting it done again.
Yeah,
keeping
you're
us
welcome.
Entertained in this hellscape of a world. Lesbians just knitting up some joy for us, just covering old men in mittens.
Yeah, so I want to commission some.
She's been completely overwhelmed, you know, sold out of mittens.
I know, everything's overwhelmed. The Bernie Sanders team put out a sweater with the meme. That sold out in minutes. I tried to get one.
I was wondering. I was like, I bet Melody's getting one of
definitely.
These.
Definitely. I'm on a waiting list.
I know. It was memed into our favorite Portrait of a Lady on Fire. It was memed into Feel Good, into the L word.
Jamie Lee Curtis's strip scene that I talk about on my masturbation episode. Oh, so good. And I would like to point out that Elizabeth Warren was also there in, you know, no frills. And should be applauded for that, too. She wore a puffy jacket, and she wore a Planned Parenthood scarf, and was very plain and cozy, and we need to celebrate that, too.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get into it because I'm like, can't we just have a silly thing? Because then I saw some people commenting on the fact that there's even discourse, and people being like, oh my God, can't we just enjoy this? I'm like, I don't even want to find what's going on, but it was definitely sounded like some double standard. Like,
oh, really? Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, no. Bernie the best.
Yeah.
Bernie most good.
No, I was just wondering, like, is that what people were mad about that Warren wasn't? Was it, again, this, like, Warren versus Bernie faction, or was it that, like, you know, there's no way that, like, like, if AOC showed up looking cozy like that, people would have been like,
yeah, no respect.
Undignified. Yeah. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Whatever.
But you know who was dressed up? JoJo Siwa in that coming out video. Please tell me you saw it.
I didn't see the video. I saw the tweet. I only went to TikTok this week to see Claudia Conway's cry for help.
Oh, man. You don't have to search for
that. And then I got
out
before I got sucked in. Yeah.
It is always right on my For You page. And then we do follow her on the Dyking Out account, so I never miss out on those. What a nightmare it seems to be in that house, like, living with Kellyanne. I can't. I saw someone put together, like, a master cut of, like, just abusive behavior in the background from Kellyanne. And I think we've said it before, but we will adopt Claudia if she needs.
Yeah.
No curfew, baby. We trust you. You seem very woke. But yeah, JoJo Siwa, the video I'm talking about is where she and a few other LGBT creators around her age were dancing to Paramore's Ain't It Good. And it's like, it's signaling. It's not overt.
Yeah.
It's the fact that she's with other creators and they're celebrating their happiness and their truth. And then she later confirmed it by posting on Twitter that picture of her in that t-shirt that said best gay cousin ever.
Yes, a t-shirt I'm surprised that I haven't been the recipient of yet.
Yeah, which leads me to believe there are other gay cousins, and I'm going to need the Kamalis or the Azadi Fares to confirm.
I have two gay cousins, and I need one of my straight cousins to pull through and confirm that I am the best of the gay cousins, because I'd just like to know where I stand. What is a JoJo Siwa?
A JoJo Siwa is a Nickelodeon star.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We're trying to wrap our heads around this. This is like if Amanda Bynes, a little, maybe a few years after All That, came out and was like, I'm a big old dyke, you know?
Oh, well, that would be exciting. Yeah. So I didn't know who JoJo Siwa was, but I was very happy for her regardless. And people seemed excited. So I'm happy for everyone who's happy. But she was on some... Was she on, like, Dance Moms?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot to mention, too. She's definitely known for being from Dance Moms.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, she's a reality TV person. Makes sense that I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
I'm sure Melody knows.
Yeah. She's known. She's like the one who wears big bows. It's very iconic. She wears big bows.
Okay. I would have thought that was all of them wearing big bows. But yeah, I mean, she looked kind of familiar in the thing. But that's fun.
Yeah, but I don't think she's labeled it officially yet. She's,
I mean, she's, if you're wearing, like, a shirt that says best gay cousin, and yeah, you're like, thank you for that. Like, what else does she need to do? Just like deep tongue a girl on TikTok?
I don't know, because also this generation's like super fluid. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, speaking of younger, how old is she? Is she like,
she's
in her
born
early
in
20s
2003.
Now?
Let's see. She's 17.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So this is huge for these kids.
Right. Right.
Out here.
So happy for everybody. Just.
Yeah. We're not bitter.
I mean, I came out when I was 17, so I'm.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Like, I keep forgetting you're superior in that way.
Stop. No. Well, because I did know I was gay in high school, I am very much enjoying a show that one of our patrons in our Facebook group mentioned. Shout out to Sherry, whose opinion I trust on everything, because she loves Jenny Schechter mostly. But also, she brought up the show Teenage Bounty Hunters. I thought maybe it was a reality show, so I'm like, you know, what's this? Not really going to look into it. And then I saw it was a scripted show and started watching it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be gay, because it doesn't start off gay at all. And then it gets gay and I am loving it, but also devastated because Netflix didn't pick it up for a second season, of course. So I haven't ended the first season, but...
Do you think I'd like it?
I think it's funny. It's funny. I also like it because I lived in Atlanta, so it takes place there, and it's very relatable to experiences of, you know, the kind of people you run into when you live in Georgia. It does make me feel weird how much I enjoy watching fictional teenage girls make out.
That's why I was avoiding it. I can get very wrapped up into, like, YA and teen stuff. And just,
I know.
And then I'm like, okay, just know, you know, that they are actually probably 20. And then I'm like, that's also weird.
Right. You know, I get a little bit lost in it and I'm like, yeah, they're making that. I'm
right.
Like, oh my gosh, they're like seniors in high school. Stop it. Stop it. You're too old for this, Caroline.
We're repressed.
I know. Sarah Paulson, come on, put out more content.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't you have like 9 movies to put out next week?
Probably.
Give me Looking that older lesbian, guilt-free, sexy content.
I just need, like, you're way more into the more mature lesbian. I just need some 30s, if we could.
Other lesbian news that's been rocking the internet for, I guess, a couple weeks now. I first heard of it in our patron Facebook group, and it's the...
Oh, really? I missed it.
The Bali lesbians. Oh, you missed that?
I missed that post. There's just so many posts coming in. Hot, hot group.
Right.
I just heard about it whenever the New York Times article came out.
When I first was trying to read about this, like, they had deleted their tweets. And then the one article I saw was mostly about the internet pylon. So from what I understand, these two Black lesbian influencers moved from LA to Bali, and they were talking about how great it is and how good their life is there. And then they put out an ebook about like, you too can move to Bali. And then there was like this pylon on Twitter that was like, you're gentrifying Bali, you're you're what's ruining the country. And it seemed like very extreme. Like, obviously there are a lot of issues in this and in terms of what they did, but I didn't see as much from their side. I only saw like the notes of like, they moved to Bali, they were talking about how much they loved it, and then like the internet attacked and basically blamed these like Black lesbians for like everything that's wrong with like Westerners coming to Bali. And it seemed like a little nut. I don't love a pylon unless it's against like Ted Cruz, and it felt like very outsized. But then I read more into it and I'm like,
okay,
yeah, these influencers need to get a clue. And
truly, this I'm very much on that side. I don't think we need a pylon. I think actually most of the pylons that come on the internet in comments or in the replies of tweets lately are from, I'm gonna say it, a lot of younger Gen Z kids who are very reactive and, you know, read a lot about gentrification and issues that, you know, that to them are theories that they have not lived through yet. You know, like, it's like when I will see a lot of times on, say, TikTok, there'll be a viral video and it's like, check out this cafe in, you know, New York, in Manhattan. And like, this, all the replies are just like, you're everything that's wrong with this country, you're gentrifying. And it's from like a 15-year-old in Nebraska. Like, and it's like, yeah, okay. Like, I know it's a very nuanced, complex issue. And yes, most of the time, especially in New York City, it's at the crux of the issue is gentrification. But like, to say you're gentrifying Bali, I don't know if like that's the word, but it is definitely infiltrating a Muslim country that does not recognize homosexual relationships. It is very arrogant of Americans to go to a Muslim island nation and
say it's LGBTQ friendly and advertise it and position it in that way. Yeah, it's not like it's celebrated there. I think it's tolerated so that they can make money off of tourism. They don't want to seem like it's, you know, overtly anti-LGBTQ, but they're not like this big hub for pride or anything from what I understand. You know, when I first read about it, I was trying to think like, yeah, you can't blame this couple for wanting to get the hell out of the United States. They did get out before COVID. And then when COVID happened, they decided, well, let's just ride it out.
They stayed till the end of their visa. Here's what they went wrong. They renewed their visa. It was a work visa, but it wasn't like their work was like living in a $400 a month treehouse and bragging about it on the internet and trying to sell their ebook.
Which their ebook was encouraging people to travel to Bali, how to get around
how to
COVID
exhaust
restrictions.
This place's resources meant for its people, just so Americans can come and be digital nomads. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, honestly, this is all a really great case of millennial delusion. You know, I went after Gen Z. I gotta go after my own. It's truly, truly this, like, I blame Mark Zuckerberg, ultimately. Our generation can't just fucking do anything in silence and just enjoy it. We have to put it out there as content. We have to brag about it. We have to try to influence and make it into a side hustle of some kind. These women could have just gone there and enjoyed it. I'm all for scamming the system, by the way. But, you know, my scams are my scams, and I'm not trying to make an ebook out of them, you know?
My scams are my scams.
You're never going to find out how I get cheaper produce. You never find out. It's just crazy. Like, we're just so, like, vapid and need to make these stylized Instagram posts about what we're doing and
right.
flex so hard that, oopsies, we're in international jail. Like, you can't do that. It's so yeah. crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like they were just very both naive and just not, like, a lot of these influencer, they have like these blinders on where all they're thinking about is their likes, their bottom line, you know, the money that they can make doing this, how they look, how people think about they look. And they're not considering the wider implications of what they do. And you just can't do that. And then especially when you're in another country, and it's just the fact that they were
very American thinking.
Yeah, to write a book to be like, this is how to get around the guidelines meant to protect the people of Bali and bring your COVID infected asses.
Right, we didn't even mention
here.
Yeah, that this is why a lot of it is frustrating. In the middle yeah. of COVID, they're doing this, trying right. to bring
people from like the most infected country.
Yeah.
in the world to like islands, which have been the most successful in mitigating cases of COVID because they're an island. So they can be very strict about like who comes in and who comes out. You don't have people driving over from, you know, New York to Vermont.
Yeah. I don't doubt that they're good people.
Right.
You know,
they just weren't thinking.
I saw in the New York Times article, there was like some quote that was like, they are kind-hearted people. They helped poor children and bought them food. Like, that's all great, but it's the ebook of it all. It's like, right. you know, yeah, they got deported. I don't know if we mentioned, but yeah, obviously they got deported.
They got deported, yeah. And, you know, which, like, I think the government of Indonesia had, like, every right to do, mm-hmm. but also that really sucks for them that they like found this life and they're like, oh my God, finally
they could have still been enjoying it.
Like, I'm happy, blah, blah, blah. And now it's all just like taken away from them. But that was like their own doing had they just shut up.
Yeah. It really is like the toxicity of social media. I at the yeah. heart of it for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm sweating. I gotta cool off with a Dyke beer. Hello. I had some Dyke beer. We got some Dyke beer in the mail. It is really good.
It y'all. Is delicious. Yes, yeah, Sarah sent us some Dyke beer because we weren't allowed to make it to Wild East Brewing where they had their launch event. And that's honestly the gayest thing I did this week was drinking Dyke
yeah.
beer. Like, I can't think of anything gayer than me cracking open a can of Dyke beer for our Patreon hang. But I know that I need a little bit something else. So even though you didn't ask what's the gayest thing
hey,
I did this week.
You know I was.
I preempted it. I know. You mentioned Dyke beer and I'm like, let's just get
let's
go
get
there.
Into it. Carolyn, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
Other than drinking the Dyke beer, it is the constant swooning that's going on for Kamala Harris in our hotel room. We've had CNN a lot on in the background, and every time they show an image of her, Cecilia gasps. It's more Cecilia. Cecilia is so horny for Kamala Harris. Let me tell you, you know, I think she's gorgeous, but I'm not at the level of Cecilia. Cecilia is just like, what? I don't think you saw that picture before. I'm like, no, I've seen her images are, they're repeating the same images. No, not that one. She looks really good there. You know,
look, I've seen the L word.
Yeah.
I know what that border looks like.
She insisted that we watch the CNN special that was like last Sunday night about Kamala's life. And, you know, probably the straightest thing is that I love Kamala and Doug.
Yeah, that's...
I'm a big fan of their relationship, and they're really running up my list of favorite straight couples. There's only like five of them that exist. Most of them are people I know IRL, but the way that they look at each other, and it's so genuine, and there seems to just be like so much love and respect, and like they just have a good time together. I love that she's Mamala to his kids.
That's where I get excited. The kids.
I love it all.
Let's talk about Ella. Yes. Let's talk about Ella. Oh, my God. I mean, obviously, the fashions of Michelle and Dr. Jill Biden were being celebrated. A lot of great monochromatic realness, whatever. But I was loving Emma's style. That was
new school vibes.
Yeah, that was our representation right there.
That was, yeah, queer Bushwick representation. Is she queer?
I don't know. I'm going to say yes, based on zero evidence, facts. I just looked at her Instagram. I was like, right, this is a queer Bushwick girl.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Also, can we talk about Ashley Biden?
Yes, we can. Her Instagram is private. So that sucks.
She's a lacrosse girl.
Yep.
She's got a strong jawline. She is married to a man, but she also married him less than a year after meeting him, which is lesbian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. She could be a little bit queer.
Yeah. Some of the best lesbians are married to men or were married to men. Just look at Kara Connors.
Right. So many past, and Tessa Scara. You know, lots of past guests of Dyking Out have been married to men. What does that mean? But I'm going to go ahead and say we should claim Ashley Biden.
Let's do it. And you know what? Listen, if you come for us on Twitter and say we're like Kamala stans or Biden stans or whatever, you have to be creative with your dig. I will not tolerate. I will not tolerate any basic replies or DMs that just say Kamala is a cop. Because the last time we talked about Kamala just being a hot woman, I got some of those and I will delete them right away. I will respond if you're clever in your, you know, trolling of me being attracted to the vice president. I will not accept Kamala as a cop. That is so hack at this point. You really have to do better. You have to do better in your insults. Anyway.
Also, yeah, at no point are we saying that they're...
I don't stand politicians, all right?
Yeah, yeah, except AOC, who I will continue to stand until she proves me wrong. So far, flawless.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. It's a dangerous game I'm playing here by standing AOC.
I know.
But every time she talks, every time she tweets, I'm like, man, more of this.
Yeah, and we will continue to cover AOC in a pervy way, in an informative way. I'm just saying, Kamala's a cop. I'm tired of it. I mean, I know, but I love a more nuanced dig.
Melody, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Okay, well, you guys, thank you so much for holding me accountable in this here podcast, because boy, do I do nothing lately. And I barely left the apartment in the month of January. So I said, let me trek out and hope something gay happens. And sure enough, it did.
That's life in New York.
Hey, baby. I was gay in public. Count it. I went out. I really haven't left the apartment. I've been on my step machine, so I've been moving. But yeah, obviously had to bump up the antidepressants. And I'm out! I walked from my apartment to downtown Brooklyn to TJ Maxx to return something.
Oh, is being a Maxinista gay now?
No. That's probably one of the straightest things about me.
Okay.
Right. So on my way, I'm almost there. I walked an hour and 10 minutes. I was stopped by a man on the street who was asking people for money. I like reached in my pocket and grabbed what I had. I had a podcast in, so I wasn't listening or engaged, but I just handed him money. And he was like, no. So I took my headphones off and he was like, listen, like, hear me out. I have a baby. I'm really just trying to have, like, I need someone to help me buy milk for my baby formula. Like, can you please help me out? I know everything's digital right now. I swear, like, I'm a good person. I don't know. Something about his eyes. I was like, okay, yeah, let's go find some baby formula. And we walked and we got to know each other. His name's Donovan. He's great. We finally find a Walgreens and we're waiting in line. And he cannot stop thanking me. And I feel uncomfortable when I get a lot of like thanks or praise or anything positive. So I was just like, nah, it's fine. You know, my girlfriend and I can't have a baby, so I'm happy to just help take care of yours, right? I say that loudly in a Walgreens line. So many older people turn around, specifically one ancient man turns around and stares at us, furious. And yeah, so he's the person, like, it's a socially distant line, but he is the person ahead of us. And he turns around and he stares at us and he won't turn around the second he heard of anything gay. And then Donovan notices, I think. So he goes, "Oh, what's your girlfriend's name?" And I'm like, "Oh, her name's Allie." But we're not looking at each other anymore. We're both staring directly at this old man talking about my gayness. And we will not turn around, or he will not turn around. We will not stop until someone was just screaming at him to realize it was his turn to go.
Wow.
So I like had Donovan as my ally. And
love it.
We took him down together. It was like we're shooting lasers out of our eyes. Just like, I don't know what we were talking about. It was a long line, but we just did. We talked about my girlfriend, I think, and his girlfriend and their baby. But just like we were in this together. I don't know if we blinked.
Just exchanging baby formula for allyship.
Yes. It was really sweet. It's like I want him in my life forever. We exchanged names and then we said goodbye outside and I started crying and then he hugged me, but he was like stopped and I was like, no, you can do it. And we're like, let's hold our breath. And we had our masks on and we tightened our like noses over like the wire over our noses and held our breath and hugged. And I bawled my eyes out on the walk away from him. So it was a pretty successful venture outside. Clearly I haven't been around people. Like it really, like I can't stop thinking about Donovan.
Being around people is emotional.
Yeah. It was like a truly not just being around someone, but like having that kind of like moment.
Having a connection. Yeah. Wow. I like that your gayest thing is like doing a good deed. And I'm like, well, we're just horny for,
well, listen,
for women. We're just objectifying our politicians who have worked really hard their careers to not be objectified.
There was no dearth of that in my week. I also did drink Dyke beer while watching Drag Race. Okay. Gotta mention that.
Great.
There's something for everyone with my week.
Love it. Well, I think it's time that we get to our interview. And I do want to say, just up top beforehand, there is a little bit of dark humor in this conversation.
Yes.
We are talking about women who kill. We are talking about murder. We are three comedians. There are some jokes about murdered people. You might not like them. If that's not for you, I would skip over this part of the episode.
Yeah, we still do have content at the end that is murder-free with our listener question.
right. You can just skip to the last 10 minutes of this episode. All right. So today we are diking out with comedian, writer, and podcaster Kai Choice. He's been featured in Playboy, has a new YouTube channel, and an upcoming comedy album, so look out for that. He's also the host of Women Who Kill, a podcast, hence our topic for the episode. So let's get into it. Kai, thank you so much for diking out with us today. We are so happy to have you here, and we're so excited about this topic.
Thanks for allowing me.
Yeah, you are so funny.
Thank you.
Especially on Twitter.
I'm probably going to get banned today.
Well, you changed your name and picture to...
And your likeness.
Yeah, your likeness to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We'll see how long that lasts. Have you ever pretended to be someone before?
Yeah, a few, what was it, last month maybe? I did Kim Kardashian. Because you know how she had that island getaway?
Oh, yes.
So I was tweeting as her about that event. That was a lot of fun.
I somewhat regularly, since you tweeted it, think about the tweet when Ellen got COVID.
Yeah. I shouldn't be laughing at that. Is that homophobic of me? I don't know if I'm allowed to dislike her loudly.
Oh, we do all the time.
Yeah. But I feel like I'm skirting the edge of homophobia you know, at this point in my life.
Right.
That's unfortunately like the most likable thing about her.
Uh-huh.
She's gay.
Oh, I thought you meant getting COVID.
Oh, no, not that she's getting COVID. No. Maybe that's the most relatable thing about her.
Okay. Yeah.
The most relatable thing is that she got COVID. And the most likable thing is that she's gay. Mm-hmm. Everything else is up for debate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Kai, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
Let me think. Oh, God. I mean, I cried watching Cobra Kai. I don't know. Is that? Oh, this is pretty gay. I made my roommate watch the Karate Kid because Ralph Macchio is such a lesbian icon.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and count that one. Yeah. That's so funny.
The best, like, lesbianist outfits I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had big, like, yeah, big, like, L-word energy in that movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Go on to
I need to rewatch culture with that lens.
Yeah. If you rewatch it, you're like, oh my God, this kid is such a lesbian icon. He has so much, like swag,
really,
right?
Is.
He's like six feet tall and like 70 pounds, but is still just like full of confidence for no reason. You know, it's just like.
Yeah, no reason to have keys, but like should have maybe if he just added that like key ring.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
It's just like no fear walking up to the hottest girl in school. Like,
yeah.
Even though he gets bullied every day. Just like feeling
Oh my
it.
God, I need to rewatch that.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Kid has so much swag. It's crazy. I was jealous. I was like, I want to be friends with this kid, but that's creepy.
Oh, love it.
Well, Kai, tell us a little bit about yourself, because we know you from Twitter. We know you from your podcast.
That's my whole life.
And that's it.
That's all I do. I tweet and I podcast.
I sent your Twitter to Carolyn. And I was like, oh, my God. Check this out.
Thank you. Yeah,
so
that's
funny.
What I do. I don't sleep anymore, so I tweet at like 4, 5 a.m. That's what I do.
And so you're in L.A.
I'm in L.A.
You're tweeting. You're in L.A.
Not doing stand-up, obviously. No.
Man, did you even do outdoor stand-up, or were you just like, yeah. Well, actually, that happens in L.A. year-round, I guess. But.
Yeah, I respect the people who are doing outdoor shows, but I myself don't, I can't see myself doing it without feeling like a busker.
And
that's not really my jam.
I mean, they're literally doing it on the subway here. Like, actual clubs in New York are paying comedians to do subway comedy.
That,
so it's literally busking at this point.
And you can't get away from it if you have somewhere to go, you know?
Yeah.
At least, like, boardwalk or sidewalk buskers, you can ignore them. But if they're on your way to where you're – that – I don't think that should be legal.
I know. I hate
agree.
It.
Agree.
You know, can you imagine, like, it's one thing to walk into a comedy club.
It's bad for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the comedy club comes to you, and then you can't get away from it? I don't know. I think comedians have not learned about, you know, just being around and doing stuff that people didn't ask them to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like people in the subway station are either, like, very sober or very on bath salts.
Yes.
You know, there's like there's no one who's just like caught a fun buzz and they're on the subway.
You know what would be nice right now? If there was some guy who's talking about how much he hates his girlfriend. That's
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the LA equivalent would be like, you wanna do comedy under some overpass in downtown LA? You wanna do it for that community?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, and I wonder if anybody's even showing up at those shows in LA. I mean, I've done some stand up in LA. Yeah. Are people like really, is that taking the flakiness out of LA, like now that the option of doing things has been taken away, that people
Maybe.
In LA actually want to not flake out and do stuff?
Yeah, so reverse psychology works on us because we're all emotionally children here.
Yeah. See, because I think it was the opposite in New York, and it was like, oh, I have an excuse to not have to hustle.
But then you guys have to stay inside your tiny little apartments that you never want to be in any other time of the year, right?
Absolutely losing
that's,
it.
That's what everybody is learning, that like the key to the whole way that New York City works is being outside of your apartment, either being like very rich or being outside of your apartment as much as humanly possible.
Right.
I'm considering a move to LA. I'm not kidding. My girlfriend's also a comedian. More of our friends at this point live in LA than New York. And we're
That's
like,
scary.
Can we just, so at least for the next year, we can have options for like, we can
I mean,
go
rent's
outside.
Rent's a little cheaper, so.
Yeah.
Hey, come on down to Zombie Town. To the epicenter of the apocalypse.
I know. Let's get those variants. Speaking of
so
murder.
So excited about the variants. Yeah.
Dying.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to dike out about women who kill.
Yes. Yeah. Well, 2021 is off to a banner start. Melody, how have you been sleeping?
Like it's 2008, all thanks to my Helix mattress.
I am so jealous right now, Melody, because as we all know, may have mentioned it, my house is being renovated, so I haven't been able to sleep on my Helix mattress yet. It is such a tease.
It is a crime to have a mattress that nice and not be sleeping on it. You should have taken it with you to the hotel.
As much as I love the mental picture of that, we already get enough attention as two women checking into a room with one bed, but I am so excited to try it because I took their 2-minute quiz online, giving them all my deets and my wife's, and based on our height and how we sleep, they recommended the best mattress for us.
And as two Capricorns whose partners share so many similarities, wouldn't you know, we were both recommended the Dusk Luxe mattress. It's medium firm, works with my unconventional sleeping positions.
I was not surprised one bit that we got the same mattress, and they also have mattresses for all different shapes, sizes, relationship statuses, and perspiration levels.
Important. So if you're in need of a new mattress, just go online, take the quiz, order the mattress you're matched with, and it gets delivered in a box free to your door.
No more mattress store employees confused about why you're buying a mattress with your sister.
Go to helixsleep.com/dikingout now to take the quiz and find your ideal mattress. And you too can sleep like it's the non-traumatic year of your choice. They have a 10-year warranty where you can try it out for 100 days risk-free.
And they'll even pick it up from you if you don't love it, but you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dikingout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We obviously stalked your Twitter, and then we found out about your podcast, and what a ripe subject. What a great angle. Have you always been interested in lady killers?
Here's the thing. I have always had a slightly, morbid curiosity, but until I was, 30 at least, I was terrified of horror, scary movies, shit like that.
Yeah.
And then something clicked. I don't know. I think it was maybe just being more aware of the politics and the world around me. And then I was like, you know what would be a nice escape from all of this? Murder.
Yeah, honestly.
Seeing someone escape a killer. I recently got really, really into horror films, and I don't understand why. I don't know.
What are some of your favorites?
I'm not. I'm not like a horror film snob. I like it all.
Yeah.
I like I like the classics. I like the Psychos. I like but I like the Blumhouse. I like the I'll watch anything. And no matter how bad it is, I'll watch it and I'll love it. I love bad horror films. I love good ones. But that kind of led to – I had another podcast that was also very, very good. Not very many people listen to it. And I'm like, you know, if I'm going to be putting all this time into it, I want it to be something that people listen to. So true crime came up. And I was like, well, what's true crime missing right now? And I realized that what true crime was missing was stories that aren't all, hey, let's talk about this guy who raped and murdered a bunch of teenagers, right? It's always like some white man who did something terrible to a woman, a bunch of women, a bunch of children. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And he was kind of cute. Like,
or was he just tall?
Yes. Good point.
But yeah, so I decided, you know, let's talk about... let's dig into murderers who are ladies, because ladies can be killers too, and women can be terrible too. Let's talk about it. So
let's talk about it, because I feel like we definitely view women who murder a lot differently than men who murder.
A lot more empathetically.
Yeah, and almost like, you go, girl. Like,
well, yeah, well, let's face it, most of the time, When women kill, they're killing men who deserved it. I mean, sometimes there are these women who are just straight psychopath sadists who just love to kill things. But that's not as common, though those ones are really fun to talk about. but for the most part, it's
like revenge kill. Right. Like they were abused
or
something happened and then they... I looked it up because I'm like, I know there's a show about this on Lifetime called Snapped. Yeah. And there are 28 seasons of Snapped. I'm that's a lot of women who snapped.
That's a lot of women not being able to, not wanting to put up with his shit anymore. Yeah,
because I think, I mean, I actually haven't seen the show, but from my understanding, the whole premise is women who were well-adjusted seeming. Uh-huh. And then something happened that made them snap and murder. Yeah. So we're not talking about, you know, complete psychopaths.
Not the Madame Delphines or the Elizabeth Bathorys. It's more like the, not even the Eileen Wuornos's, right? We're just talking about like regular ass housewives. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't know that many. So I'm... like hoping to learn a lot from just based on what you've learned through doing your podcast, because each episode you go into
a different lady.
Is it a different? Yeah.
You know, Eileen, everyone knows Eileen Wuornos though.
Everyone knows Eileen Wuornos. I mean, especially all of our listeners on this podcast definitely know about Eileen Wuornos. If you don't, they made a movie about her, Monster, with Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Where they uglied her up.
And she got an Oscar.
She got an Oscar for being ugly. Because she's always been a good actor, right? Like, she acts the fuck out of everything she does, but they're like, whoa.
Oh, it's the same thing with Nicole Kidman in The Hours.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, they made her ugly and queer. Well, for Nicole Kidman.
They made her plain.
They gave her a nose.
They gave her, what? Really?
Oh, she had this like crazy fake nose.
I don't remember that at all.
In The Hours, and just like no makeup, and was just like very sullen the entire time because she's playing Virginia Woolf.
I just remember thinking she was hot the whole time. maybe it's because of when I was watching it. I don't know, how old was I at that time? I did not notice the prosthetic at all. I'm just not a superficial person, I guess. Thank you. No, I am. I totally am.
Wait, but we talked about how it's not like as common for women to
kill for fun.
Right. So like, are there or women sport. Serial killers then?
Oh, absolutely.
Who are they?
Oh, there's so many of them.
I don't know. I really just know about Lizzie Borden and Eileen, like, and that's because of
Lizzie Borden was actually having a pulse, by the way.
Lizzie Borden was railroaded. Yeah, what?
She was railroaded. She is okay. There's an episode of my podcast about Lizzie Borden. Listeners, www.womenwhokillpodcast.com. Yes. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, anywhere podcasts are found. But yeah, we did an episode of her with Liz Stewart, and Liz has this theory that we get into, and I didn't believe it at first, but she convinced me that Lizzie Borden didn't just go crazy and kill her parents for funsies. She killed her parents because her dad was abusing her.
Okay, that's a theory I read about, yeah.
I saw the movie, but all I remember is them just getting naked to do the murders.
That movie is riddled with errors. It's that movie was so wrong, so factually incorrect.
Yeah,
but entertaining.
But they gave us K-Stew as an Irish, with an Irish accent, right? Mm-hmm.
Would you agree that more queer people, like queer people, love true crime? Is that?
Are you day drinking right now?
It's day for you. It's 7:15 somewhere. New York City.
Okay.
Melanie, I mean, I might disagree that queer people are more into true crime. I feel
white
women.
That's true.
It's a big white woman thing.
Yeah, I guess most of the women I know are queer at this point. Maybe that's why I thought it. It's true. Women love true crime. And also just like the CSI, not even crime.
Procedurals?
Yeah. And like Copaganda.
Yeah, like Law and Order SVU.
Oh, man. You know what? You know why? When that started, I think, was with Olivia Benson.
Totally.
Sure. It's a root for...
If you don't know who Olivia Benson is, y'all...
it's Taylor Swift's
Mariska
cat.
Mariska Hargitay. Oh, really?
Yeah, she named her cat
That's
there
hilarious.
Is probably a whole generation of people who only know Olivia Benson as Taylor Swift's cat, but no.
Okay, well, if you watch Law & Order SVU, which I don't know how you could have possibly missed it if you've ever turned on a TV. Right. It's always on some channel.
USA.
USA.
24/7. And Law & Order SVU, Mariska Hargitay's character, the clearly lesbian detective who is... Never came out as a lesbian on the show. Have you guys read the Olivia Benson Alex Cabot fanfic/fic?
Oh yeah, I actually did a PowerPoint presentation about it.
So good.
You come to the right podcast. She's obsessed.
Oh man, Alex Cabot, so fine. By the way, Stephanie March was married to Bobby Flay. Did you know that?
No.
Bobby
Flay.
No. I hate Bobby Flay.
Right?
That's so funny. I had no idea.
Oh, man.
He's basically a lesbian, though, right? Like, what chef isn't?
I mean, his anger feels lesbian.
Yeah.
But he's such a douchebag.
He's smarmy. He's definitely smarmy.
Yeah. The smarminess. I can't deal. But yeah, I think it's a lot of women who like to hear about other women being murdered.
Yeah.
Which is strange.
For some reason. Yeah.
I feel like...
But you have guys on your podcast.
Occasionally.
You have other guys.
Only as subjects?
Only good ones.
The murderers?
Well, often subjects.
No, I meant
but sometimes as guests.
As guests.
Yeah. You know, I don't understand why. I think it might be a thing where you're like, if I listen to all these stories and figure out where other people went wrong... Maybe I can keep it from happening to me.
Oh.
You know? Like some people watch procedurals to see if they could figure out how to commit the perfect murder. You know? Which I'm sure they leave out the most important details on those shows to thwart people like that. But, I mean, that's the only thing I could think of as far as what would make women listen to or really enjoy listening to stories about other women being murdered. I totally understand why mostly women listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's the only place where you can find
representation.
Representation, yeah, and terrible men getting their comeuppance, you know?
Yeah.
But and also the stories where the victims did not deserve their fate. I think it might just be refreshing to not have to hear about men destroying and murdering things, because that's like our entire
it's redundant
history, right?
Yeah, at this point,
yeah. World. Yeah.
Do women mostly murder cis men?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there tends to be few different categories that women murderers or murderesses, however you want to describe them, fall into. And usually they're either murdering because they were abused and it's in self-defense, or they're murdering for money. Or status, or for fun. But that last category is much smaller.
Well, speaking of that last category, as I was doing some research to talk to you today, I found an article that was about a couple of killers called the Australian Lesbian Killers.
Oh yeah, the lesbian vampire.
What?
Hunters. Yes. Yeah. I did an episode about them. The host of the Lizard People podcast, Caitlin Hempstead, she did an episode of my podcast where we talked about Tracy Wiggins, who was an Australian who recruited her girlfriend and another woman who wanted to be her girlfriend. So they were basically like a love triangle to murder men and presumably drink their blood. They thought they were vampires. That was their
thing.
Okay,
this is very funny because I'm thinking of a different Australian vampire lesbian couple.
Oh my God, yes. I need both stories.
No way.
Okay, so this story is one, there's, Melody, if you're interested, there's a link to it in the doc. It was Valerie Page Parashumpty and Jessica Ellen Stasanowski, known in Australia as the Lesbian Killers. Yeah. They were sentenced to life in prison for the murder of 16-year-old Stacey Mitchell in 2006. Basically, yeah,
oh, okay.
This other
this.
Woman came to live with them. They were a couple, and one of them was jealous of this person and thought that their partner liked her. So to prove that she didn't have feelings for her, she was like, let's murder her together and then you'll know. And then like, and one of them.
19, 21 and 16. Were yeah. Religious. The couple was 19 and 21. And the third was 16.
Which apparently
is,
like nothing happened there, but she wanted to prove that she wasn't attracted to the 16-year-old by murdering her. And then they got aroused and they like made out after they murdered her and they had no remorse. And at their trial
on top of her body, or
I think just nearby, but at their trial a year later, they said they like regretted that they didn't fuck. Like that they were just like so turned on and they regret that they only kissed. So they have like no, so it's like two psychopaths who found each other, but one of them kind of like drinks blood.
There's someone
one of
for
them
everyone.
Drinks blood and like identifies with vampires.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing one of them drink blood to prove to the other that Mitchell meant nothing to her, which does feel very gay, which feels very lesbian. It's just like, prove it! Like, she doesn't mean anything to you. Just these strong, passionate crimes.
It's so, yeah, just as dramatic as it could possibly be. And, you know, they probably only knew each other for like a month before this murder took place. So they made her drinks. They snuck sleeping pills into her drink and then hit her with a concrete block and then strangled her and beat her with a belt. Jeez. And then they filmed it. What was it?
Yeah.
2006. What was this? Flip phones? What's the iPhone? The first iPhone?
So you're telling me there are two cases of note of Australian lesbians.
Australian lesbian
drinking
vampire
blood, being
killers?
Not just killing, but like in a vampire kind of way.
Uh-huh.
What?
So
that's wild.
I mean, it's like a lot of times cult. Our representation, especially like earlier on of queer women, is always that they're like psychos or murderers and problematic, whatever.
Problematic, yeah.
And we're like, no, this sucks. But then when you hear, yeah,
you're like, this isn't who
but
we
then
are.
When you hear
like,
about women who kill, it turns out that a lot of them have something queer about them. Either they're like full on les or they're a vampire, which
yeah secret bisexuals.
So what, why
so why
I've never really dug into that before. Women who end up snapping and murdering people have a lot going on in their lives as far as feeling marginalized and oppressed and abused.
Trauma? Do we think it comes from trauma?
You know, also, yeah, a lot of trauma, a lot of maybe some neglect of mental health going on. And I think that having the added stress of being queer and not being able to tell anyone about it, which very few of these women were who are murderers and were also queer, were out about it. You know, that's just kind of like adding it could be the straw that broke the camel's neck, I like to say. I'm not going to say back. It could be it's a straw that stabbed the camel in the eye. that's my theory that, you know, I came up with just now.
I mean, I was wondering, like, do queer women murder more than straight women when you adjust for population and whatnot? And I came across this study, and I didn't read the whole study. I just read the abstract. It sounds homophobic just based on what their hypothesis was. It wasn't about the rate of murder. So the study was about the brutality of murder and how brutal a murder is. Okay. So they hypothesized that gays will kill in a more brutal manner than heterosexuals, that men will be more brutal relative to women. And then they isolated just a gay man versus a heterosexual man, a lesbian relative to a heterosexual woman. And they found that it was true, all of them, except that women murder more. When women murder, they do it more brutally than men on the whole.
Hmm. I love that.
I would believe it as far as gay men go, because I'm assuming when gay men kill, it is other men. And men are going to be more brutal when they're killing another man than when they're killing someone who is, easier to kill?
I'm not going to argue that. I'm very easy to kill. I'm very killable. Yeah. It won't take much. I can't fight back. I was wondering maybe more, because if you look at, because men commit so many more murders in general, and a lot of them might be more like general crimes that aren't brutal, that are just like gun violence.
Right. Or murders where they didn't actually mean to kill.
Yeah, those. And like women are like maybe less caught up in that kind of thing. So when women are murdering, it is all of these like very personal, yeah.
It's very personal.
Like, I'm going to fucking take all my rage out that I've been storing inside of me for all these years and, like, lose my shit.
Absolutely.
And
yeah. A lot of women do poison.
Oh, yeah?
Do kill with poison, though. And I think it may have been more common back in the day when it was just common to have rat poison around the house.
Yeah, it just reminds me of Chicago.
That makes sense.
The musical. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, some men just can't hold their arsenic.
Yeah. Wasn't that based on a true story? Chicago? I believe it was.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. That's like our favorite musical, or one of our favorite musicals is Chicago, and it's just about
really
women who murder.
Yeah. I didn't even make that connection.
Me neither.
That's so good.
Until just now. Do you have a favorite murderer?
I don't think I do. There's so many.
It's just something funny I've heard, like, over the years as I got older and my friends were getting more into murder. I feel like it's something that comes with age. I don't know. The more you're around, the more you're like, I can understand.
Yeah, I don't think I really stan any.
But I have friends who have, like, favorite murderers. Like, they're rock stars.
That's odd.
Yeah.
That's a little creepy. no, there's just so many interesting stories out there. It's hard to pick a favorite one.
I think my least favorite are the women who murder children.
Oh, yeah.
That's your favorite?
Least That's my favorite. Least favorite. Oh, that's my least favorite.
I hate kids.
Oh, God.
Starting
okay,
my next
good.
IVF cycle soon. Love. Women who murder the kids. No, no. Those ones always make, those ones are just like so, like beyond tragic and sad and unfortunately happens.
The funniest.
A lot. Or people who like murder, like women who murder other people's children because they have like the case and.
Oh, Lisa Montgomery just got executed for that. But by the way.
I'm writing this name down. I don't know who that is.
Lisa Montgomery broke a glass ceiling. She was the first woman to be executed federally since the 1970s.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She just got executed.
Who did she kill?
I'll tell you. She got executed, but, you know, Trump signed that executive order to kill her real quick before he got out of office. Now, to be fair, she did deserve it. She stalked this woman who she met in a chat room online. And killed the woman. She was pregnant. She killed her and ripped the fetus out of her belly. And
yeah, she like cut the fetus out.
Tried to abscond with this fetus.
Yes, she really and then wait, did baby. The fetus survive?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I know about this. Okay. Woo! Goosebumps.
She came to her house under the pretense of adopting dogs from her because she joined this dog breeding message board
just to stalk
her
further.
So gay. Yeah. It sounds so gay.
Yeah. All of this is gay and, culture.
Took the relationship off the message board to be like, hey, I really want to buy some dogs from you. And got to her house and then, stabbed the fuck out of her. And when I heard the story, all I could imagine was, you know, obviously it's terrible that a woman died and that this baby had this happen to its mother, but also the puppies. Okay. the cops got there and found all these puppies slipping and sliding around in oh all this God. Blood. Can you imagine? These dogs.
Why did she want to kill her?
She really wanted a baby.
Wanted a baby. I mean, she wasn't.
She lied to people about being pregnant and having miscarriages and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and,
she was mentally. She wasn't all there, and that's why some people were saying that the execution was cruel because clearly she's not well. If you're gonna do that, I mean.
But I mean, where
a lot
else,
more
where
cruel executions
go?
Come to mind, or like unwarranted.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
I'm just against death penalty, I guess, in general.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a fan of it.
Not a hill I'm going to die on.
I mean, I guess I would say it's probably impossible to rehabilitate her, but there are other places for people to go if it's impossible to rehabilitate them.
Yeah, I mean, clearly a danger to society if she's pulling off stunts like that. There was another one that was like 3 or 4 years ago that really like shocked New York, and it was a woman's nanny murdered two of the kids in the bathtub while the mom was taking the third kid to swimming lessons or something like that.
And she came home.
Yeah, she came home and found that the nanny had murdered the two kids.
And did she get this nanny on like an app? You know, like the wag of nannies? Because
I was
going
to say, in New York
especially,
it takes a lot to become a nanny.
Right.
Like, she'd been
like so many background checks.
Yeah. And this was like a wealthy upper rich side.
Yeah.
And that happened. It was just like very, very tragic. I think she got life in prison.
They should have done a background check. How old were the kids, though?
It was like 3 and 5 or something like that.
So they were old enough to talk. So I'm saying, you know, kids can be dicks. So
yeah.
What'd they say?
What did they say? That's what I want to know.
Oh man. Do you have in your mind an astrological sign or two or three that are more prone to murder than any other? Are you into astrology?
I'm not, but on my show I do look up I look up the sign of every murderer that we do.
I feel like that's one of the first things I would do, and I'm not even someone who's that into, like, I don't know what it all means, but like that's one of the first things I would do, I think.
Yeah. No, I think that is it Scorpios who are, there's a lot of serial killers who are Scorpios. And Cancers, I think.
There are no serial killers who are Capricorns.
I know. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, yeah. Wait, that makes sense, though. I do know that fun fact. So great. Too measured.
What's the most common sign?
Scorpios make sense. They're supposed to be very just intense, and if you wrong them,
number
you'll
one
know.
Is Pisces.
I know some crazy Pisces.
Five out of the 25 most notorious serial killers were Pisces, including Eileen Wuornos, John Wayne Gacy, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Wait, is Richard Ramirez? No, Richard Ramirez.
Is that the one who the HBO documentary is out about now? There's one called The Night Stalker. I just started last night.
I think that was him.
Yeah.
And Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. He was also a Pisces. Number two, Gemini. Jeffrey Dahmer, son of Sam.
That would have been my guess.
Three, Gemini's. Sagittarius. Four, Aquarius. Oh, cutting it close. Cutting it close, Aquarius. And yeah, those are the top four.
I mean, I'm not surprised by those.
But I'm pretty sure Ted Bundy was like a Scorpio or something. Could be wrong.
Yeah.
Have you ever known a murderer personally?
No, I have not. Though I did live next door to a woman when I used to live in Hollywood. My neighbor was like this sweet old Armenian lady, and her husband used to yell at her all the time. And one day he yelled at her so bad that she had a heart attack and died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't there at the time, but I like got home and there were all these candles outside like by her door, and our downstairs neighbor was up there crying, and I'm like, what happened? And then she was like, he killed her. I'm like, what? Then she explained what really happened. So he did kill her, but he didn't kill her. But he might have eventually.
Yeah.
Because he was not a nice guy.
Do you have people you think could be?
I do. Oh, yeah. I've known a few crazy people.
Okay, name them.
Oh, I would. I hadn't already won the lawsuit against them.
I think you go to enough open mics.
Yeah,
you're gonna come
across
a murderer.
Yeah, we all know some open micers.
So many,
I'm
so many
confident.
Comedians. I feel like, yeah, if they weren't doing comedy, they would be murdering. Just like,
yeah,
very important, upstanding members of the incel community.
Yeah, and they can't make it to open mics now, so they're definitely ready to kill. I feel like very on high alert about some of these.
Wasn't there one in New York who came up from Florida, and then they found that he murdered his mom?
Oh, I don't
know. An open micer.
They found him at an open mic?
Yeah. Well, they started being like, don't let him at your open mic. He's wanted for murder. Or like, I don't know.
Do you think the reason why they caught him was he went around telling everyone he killed? And we're like, this guy's not funny. So he clearly isn't talking about comedy.
No, I'm telling you, I murdered.
Yeah.
I have no knowledge of it. I've never heard of it. I can corroborate that.
Like, this guy's never made anyone laugh in his life. It's called the FBI.
Checks out. Well, we talked about real killers.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any fictional killers that you're a fan of?
I'll just go ahead while you're thinking and say my favorite is Beatrix Kiddo.
I don't know. Buffy doesn't count, though.
Oh, Buffy. Know. Yeah, Buffy's killing vampires.
Yeah.
I think Beatrix Kiddo from Kill Bill.
Oh, yes, yes.
Wait, which one is Beatrix?
Uma Thurman's character.
Oh, I like the
Oh, I just assumed. Didn't know, but assumed.
Yeah.
There was this movie that came out recently on was it on HBO called Ava? You seen that?
No.
Oh, it's a good movie. Or maybe it was on Prime. I don't remember. Look it up though. It's about this this Russian spy, teen assassin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was a fun movie.
Oh. I think I know what you're talking about. Yes, I have seen that. And that's really good. Yeah. We could have had a really great fictional lesbian murderer, but unfortunately, the L word just copped out and said Jenny committed suicide. You know, they really.
You know, I'll be very honest. I watched 3 episodes total of that show. And it was so bad.
What year? What year did
the,
you...
The year that Max had a terrible fake mustache.
Oh, yeah, Max, anything. If I were to never watch The L Word, turn on an episode or season where it was like we're watching how Max is portrayed.
Yeah.
I would have shut it off immediately.
It was so terrible.
I was just like a teenager who was already wrapped in and was like, I guess we're going to keep watching. Like, I knew at the time what they were doing with Max was so crazy. But yeah, that checks out, is what I'm saying.
A whole other genre, too, of women murderers is women who, like, rope somebody else into doing it for them, like a new boyfriend. Like, they get the new boyfriend to kill their husband, and it's like a murder. It's like seduction murder.
Right. And is it smart? I don't know. I don't know the law well enough to know if the penalty is worse for killing someone than it is getting someone else to kill them for you. Like, I feel like the penalty should be the same. There was that woman. Do you remember that woman who convinced her boyfriend to kill himself?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
The teenager who she was like texting that guy and being like, you should just do it. Kill yourself already.
He was suicidal already. And then she kind of badgered him into going through with it.
Yeah. Yes. She was sentenced for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think might be a first.
Yeah, that can be tricky with cases because usually like the person who hired the hit serves the time or more so than the hitman when it's something. But when you get into this like seduction thing, it almost becomes like a he said, she said thing.
Or she said, she said.
Or she said, she said, yeah. And then it gets like a lot more complicated on like, well, like who's really to blame? And I guess that's what makes for really good true crime podcasts.
Yeah.
Exploring those stories. I guess that's the thing that people also like about true crime too, is when there's like a gray area or something where it's like, well, you don't really know, or there's something that doesn't add up, right? Yeah. And then you can start having like your own theories about like, well, what actually happened, or like, who do you believe, like when there are contradicting stories. So you have stuff like, you know, serial killers who confess to everything and say what they did, and you're like, all right, well, there's not maybe more to that story, or maybe that's just like a case study. But then like there's this whole thing of, you know, like who really did it? What was the real reason? Are they lying? Are they still lying? Are they covering up for somebody?
In the late 50s, there was a murderer in Los Angeles that's basically known as like the Halloween lesbian murders, basically.
I'm listening.
You guys should look it up.
We will.
Yeah, there were these two women, and one of them was divorced, and her best friend, who she ended up leaving her husband for, ended up getting her to kill her husband. It's a crazy story. Just look up lesbian Halloween love triangle murder.
Yes.
Or the trick or treat murders, I guess.
That's all I need. Yeah. Just give me the keywords. I'm like finding, I don't know why, I was never that into true crime, murder, anything. I started dating my girlfriend, you know, queer girls love their murder, and I was more and more exposed to it. And now I'm like finding my own corner of true crime. Like, I really like conspiracy theories, cults, and all that.
Okay.
But I am very interested in the murder stuff, and I was wondering why, and then I was looking into like women killers too, and I think that's what I want to delve into, if you know, quarantine's keeping up at the rate it is, nothing but time. Like, I read a statistic about how like men will like largely attack strangers, but like 80% of women killers, serial or whatever, know their victims, gather information about them. Like, it's just like so much more premeditated.
Is it less like homework? Crimes? Yeah. Less crimes of passion and more planning, more like right. a lot more premeditation with women.
And maybe that's the Capricorn in me that's just like, ooh, planning.
Organization.
So, like, yes. Really interested in it.
Goal setting.
Yeah, right?
The Marie Kondo.
Oh,
of
my
Marie.
God.
Hitting targets. Yeah, spreadsheets.
Yeah, there was in this same thing I read, I don't remember what it was, but it was like 70-something% of these women are also like caregivers. Like most of the time, like they'll murder people who are in their care. Just like the mental gymnastics, the like all yeah. the like that seems extra psycho.
Well, there were a lot of nurse killers. Oh, there was another lesbian couple that were nurses at an old people home. What do you call an old people home?
Nursing home.
Nursing home. Yeah.
Straight up hospice. No.
yeah, they both worked there, and they would kill people, and then like have sex in their bed.
Oh man!
So that one. Talked about that on my podcast too. That
tackle that
crazy.
Ryan Murphy.
Wait, I have follow up questions. Do they move the body and then have sex in the bed, or are they?
You know, old people are tiny, you know, and they waste away to practically nothing. So they probably only take up like a third of the bed.
Yeah. What else we got? I was just interested in like your brand of murder, your taste in murder. If you had favorite movies, if you had favorite stories, but we did get some good ones so far that I've definitely written down.
I really like the story of Bela Lugosi, who would basically place personal ads in newspapers. This was like back in the day when the only way you could meet someone on a blind date was through placing an ad in the newspaper. And she would start sending sexy letters and photos to these guys and have them fall in love with her from afar. And then she would tell them to come move in with her. And when they did, she would kill them and take all their money. And then start the process all over again.
Yeah.
And her personal ad had one of her personal ads, my favorite one, had that it ended with triflers need not apply.
Sorry. What year was this?
This was in like the 30s.
Trifling. I love that.
Right?
No bugaboos.
Yeah. Just like, I don't want no scrubs. Yeah. It was the first no scrubs.
Yeah, honestly. That's a good one. I guess I'm realizing murder is more prevalent than I had imagined.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like COVID.
Right. Silent killer.
Sometimes. Yeah. I feel like...
Usually they scream.
Yeah, I would.
If you're being murdered?
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't give them the satisfaction. I'd be like, do it. Yes, more.
I guess I could. Actually, I'm very stubborn. Like, I bet you want me to scream. Not gonna happen.
Is it still as shocking when women kill? I feel like back in the day, it was like, oh my gosh, like, because women weren't thought to be capable of much other than childbirth.
I think they stabbed the glass ceiling, right? It's like, when you see a woman doctor, you're not like, oh, a lady doctor.
Right, you know? Right.
I think women have achieved homicidal equity.
That's it. It's equity. Because I don't support murder flat out, not like rooting for it. I am rooting for that equal opportunity representation, especially. Like, it's made me weirdly happy to learn about more women murders in the last hour.
Well, I feel like we also get more representation of men, like serial killers who are very intelligent, right? So we have like Hannibal Lecter or like the Zodiac killers.
You know,
killers,
he's not
like,
real though.
Well, no, but like, but representations.
Okay.
like the way that men are portrayed as murderers.
Yeah,
but
it's actually
real, like,
Army Hammer. It's Army Hammer.
Yeah.
That's the real name.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, he's also wealthy and intelligent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But okay, real life killer, like, was the Zodiac killer probably smart?
Ted Cruz?
Or was he just good at
an idiot.
Was Ted Cruz just good at riddles? What was the...
Yeah, I mean, Ted Cruz invented his own his own language, right? To write those weird coded letters.
Yeah, or I guess the fact that because it feels like there are all these like high profile male serial killers.
Right. It's like it's like a game to them.
It's a game to them, and they're able to like outsmart and get away with it for so long. And I'm like, I feel like there's no equivalent for women, or we just don't know about them.
Maybe they're just smart enough to actually get away with it, and they have no desire to taunt the police.
Oh, okay.
Like, so, right. So you'll never know until they actually get caught, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I don't think it's so much that these murderers are extremely intelligent, though I'm sure a lot of them are just above average intelligent. I think it's that cops are very stupid.
Oh, that, yeah.
Well,
that's
the common theme to like every true crime podcast is like, yeah, these guys aren't caught because cops aren't.
Reddit solves
good
so
detectives.
Many crimes that detectives couldn't solve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's actually, it made me very, especially the ones of like kids that went missing. It's like, oh my gosh, if there was just like very basic competence, they could have found that kid. That's so annoying.
Did you see that? Totally off topic. But did you see that Elizabeth Smart was in the Masked Dancer?
Yes, the Masked Dancer.
I did not see that. What?
I didn't see the show, but how is
Masked Dancer?
Like, you're supposed to guess who it is. What were the clues?
Dancer?
What clues were they giving for that?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I have to Google it.
You just know that if JonBenet Ramsey had survived, they would have used her instead.
Right.
Like, who was their third choice, their second choice?
Would you ever date?
A sexy murderer? Yeah.
A woman who's killed?
No.
No.
No. Because how do you know that you're not going to do something that makes them snap again, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you can be a dick sometimes. you have a slightly antagonistic personality.
Yeah. Right there with you. So,
well, what if you knew the context of it? Like, is there a kind of
murder? If it
wasn't
self-defense, then
if it was a gal who was like, listen, he raped my sister. He was our dad. I don't know.
Why but I mean, like, what are the rules? I think it also depends on how much it would affect my lifestyle, you know?
Like,
Are there certain places where convicted murderers aren't allowed to live, aren't allowed to go, you know?
Right. Like is it going to interfere with brunch?
Yeah.
Like, is that ankle bracelet gonna be a problem?
Does it go?
Yeah, like can you leave the country? Like, are we just not gonna be able to ever go on vacation?
That's true. Yeah.
What are your parole restrictions?
I mean, I will say it crossed my mind when I started dating my now wife that I wondered
if she'd ever killed someone.
If she'd ever killed somebody?
Why?
Yeah,
was she in like Afghanistan or something?
No. So though that'd be a good reason to have killed someone, you know, but
I mean, I wouldn't say a good reason, but
I wouldn't say a good reason, but like one that's like plausible, like, yeah.
Well, like, oh, it could have been her job. Yeah. Job. How many years ago?
Yeah.
Like, they did it for the benefits, you know? Like, comes with good job benefits.
For the health insurance that the wife benefited from being married to.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, because it was a couple things. One was like, things were going so well, and I kind of had a hard time believing. I was like, something has to be off here, and it could be that she's a murderer. Like, I don't believe that this person...
She's just, like, really good at cleaning up after herself.
I'll tell you why you think this. I'll butt in. It's because of her art. I know her wife.
Murderer.
She makes dark art. She's a visual artist.
Does she draw a lot of headless corpses?
It's just a lot of...
It's a lot of knives
teeth.
Going into eyes.
Knives?
And a lot of,
yeah. Knives stabbing eyes.
It's oh, you're not being facetious.
Yeah, no. It's a lot of like blood and knives.
No, for real.
Okay. You know, it wasn't that. It was.
It wasn't that. No.
It was a whole bunch of things. So there was the one of like, I don't know, like she can't be this perfect. She must be a murderer. There's also that like she's from Peru. Uh-huh. And then when I one day was like asking her about like the timeline of life events for her, some things weren't adding up. And then she was getting very frustrated that I kept pressing it and wanting the details of this timeline. And I'm uh-huh. like, is she hiding something? So I did Google. I did do some Googling. I'm like, are
and
there...
And you found that she changed her name. And...
People wanted for murder. Uh-huh. Right, right. Well, yeah. I mean, it was like her name wasn't what I thought it was. But that's because everybody, you know, like a lot of Latin... Sure. Women who are Catholic, their name is Maria, and then they go by like the next name. Right?
Sure.
Right. So,
yeah.
So I had a search like
blood on her hands,
different versions of her name, and then
how many social security cards does she have?
I did ask her, and she's not good at lying, so I'm like very confident that she didn't murder anyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone has it in them. I'm dating the sweetest, whitest, southernest girl. Uh-huh. So sweet. If she's driving and there's road rage, I can absolutely understand how she would kill. Mm. I feel like everyone's got it in.
Yeah. I mean, my whole point was I thought like that there was a chance that maybe she had murdered someone and that did not influence. I wasn't like, oh, I better get out. I was like, all right, just keep an eye on it, you know?
But also it was probably a man, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah. Are guys doing the same thing that women do? Are they writing to these women murderers in prison and being like, I want to be your boyfriend?
Yes.
Or are women just sad
Absolutely.
In that way? Okay. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. Again, equal good, opportunity.
Good. A lot of these
That's
women
all we want.
Are also
That's
very popular with the ladies in prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they become like
fresh meat for the
lesbians
inmates?
Of circumstance. Because the thing about women who go to prison for murder, it's not like a woman who goes to prison for like embezzlement where someone's like, where people feel like they can take advantage of this person.
Right.
They kind of come in like at the top of the food chain.
They're the daddy.
They automatically like have the respect and they're feared by people because, you know, because they're murderers. So.
Hmm.
So a lot of these women end up being like popular and having people want to do things for them and kind of almost having like groupies in jail.
Yeah.
Mm. And others end up becoming like model, very boring model prisoners, but it really depends on the person.
Murder. Is that how you get groupies?
it's possible.
Our takeaways are murder makes you famous, murder makes it easier to date in prison, and if you murder, people are going to want to talk about you on their podcast. So,
so make
drawbacks,
sure you get some
murderer.
Good headshots online, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drawbacks, less travel, but no one can right now. So go ahead.
And, no.
We all
clear.
In quarantine. Yeah. I mean,
we do not endorse murder.
We do not endorse murder.
Neither do I. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you.
I have
for
been
having
writing
me.
Down names this entire time.
Yes.
And remind everybody where they can find you on social media and find the pod.
Sure. Again, my podcast is called Women Who Kill. Not to be confused with Why Women Kill, by the way. Mm. That podcast tried to hijack my SEO traffic. But you can find it anywhere podcasts are found. That's Pandora, Spotify. Apple Podcasts is the best place to find it. And the most recent 20 episodes are always available everywhere podcasts are found. All the rest of them are on Patreon, which I talk about on the show when you listen to it. So you'll be able to find it that way. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kai Choice, and that's spelled just like my name, KAICHOYCE.
It's a great follow. Do
a
it.
Great follow. So funny. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you. This was fun.
So after we recorded that, because Cecilia was napping behind me through the conversation because, you know, hotel room, nowhere mm-hmm. to go. And I was like, I hope it's okay that I shared how I thought that maybe you could have been a murderer. And she just looks at me and was like, I could never murder you. And I'm like, but you could murder somebody. Is my point, and you're not convincing me otherwise right now.
She's
and
then deaf a murderer.
Yeah, and then she just kind of jokes and was like, I could never murder you, and then puts her hands around my throat and gets this crazed look in her eye. And I'm like, this is, you know, just keeping the excitement in this marriage alive.
Oh, man.
Hide you know, if you're in a knives. Long-term... yeah, hide the knives. If there is a long-term relationship you're in and it's feeling a little unexciting, you know, consider... a little bit of murder. Just kidding. No, again, officially, our stance
no,
is
don't do
murder
it.
Is bad.
Choke lightly yeah. during sex if you want. Safe word. Okay, bye. let's give some more valuable advice.
Yeah, let's murder the answer to this listener question.
Hey, okay. My girlfriend and I have been together for a few years now. I have children from a previous relationship that we are raising together, and we have talked seriously about getting married and having a child of our own after we both settle into our careers. We both consider this relationship very serious. However, when it comes to family events, I am not welcome to Thanksgiving, Christmas, barbecues, celebrations, etc., because her grandma is homophobic and does not want to see us together. My girlfriend goes to these events without me, and it hurts my feelings. I have addressed my feelings about this to her, and she said it hurts her too, but still wants to go and see her family and her grandma for the holidays. The first year or so, it didn't bother me because I wasn't sure how serious we were going to be, but now I find myself getting more and more hurt about it. I am in no way asking her to cut ties with her grandma at all. She is close with her grandma and sees her weekly, mostly Zooms with her now due to COVID. And I think that is great. But when she leaves our family for several hours to go to something we are not welcome to, it makes me feel very sore. And I don't know if jealous is the right word, but it's almost a similar feeling. Is it fair for me to be upset about this? Yes.
Yeah. Your feelings are 100% valid. If you weren't upset about this, I think that would be more concerning.
Yeah. She should be concerned. Yeah. If you're not upset. Yeah, this sucks.
What an upsetting situation. That sucks so much.
I can relate a little bit. When Allie and I first started dating, there was a wedding that I was not invited to explicitly. Like, not even like you don't get a plus one. It was like you cannot bring Melody because her cousin was getting married to a guy from West Virginia, and they're all putting it on the West Virginians, but it was like, you can cop to it and say it's also your discomfort with not wanting to stand up for your gay relative to yeah. the West Virginians. It is, you're the bride's family. You can do whatever you want, as far as right. I'm concerned. But it sucked. And they have since... really warmed up to me, this family. They love me and consistently say I'm part of the family. It's been a few years since this, but like it still hurts.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine going through this consistently. It really yeah. is a mind fuck and it hurts and it doesn't go away. So like, I'm sorry that you have to deal with this so regularly.
Yeah. And I do think that you're girlfriend is in the wrong here. I mean, I know it's tough and I know it's not an easy situation. It makes me think about Glee when Santana, who's super close with her grandmother and tells her grandmother that she's gay and that ends the relationship basically for a while and she doesn't come around. I know it's a fictional show, but I think that was like a very relatable one of the more realistic, relatable stories. And she doesn't come around for a while. And it takes people, you know, talking to the grandmother over time and being like, is this worth losing your granddaughter over, you know? And people who are really homophobic, a lot of times it's because they don't know that either someone that they love is gay, like the way to get people to overcome homophobia sometimes is by like exposure and having them see that it's not this horrible, immoral thing. And I don't know. I really think that that's just like really not going to be good for your relationship if you and your kids aren't allowed to come to like any family gatherings. You'll never feel like you're part of the family.
Yeah.
And being part of the family is like such a key part to being in a relationship and being in love. And if you have a future with someone, you have to be able to be part of the family. And she has to talk to her grandmother and be willing to have that relationship, you know, maybe suffer a little bit. I don't know. And I say this as somebody who like loved both of my grandmothers so, so much, but still would not, you know, want to make the person I love feel like they had to be kept in a closet or stay at home and not be able to like celebrate life's
yeah,
great moments like holidays and special occasions, because one person is a bigot. That's not right. But if it's going to be something like you're banned from like every family event because of that, if your girlfriend is so close to your grandmother that she's talking to her every week and she can't get her grandma to come around on this, like what's the point of that relationship?
Right. Just seems like a really tight-knit family, and there's lots of events, and every time there's a barbecue, you're hurting your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope, have your girlfriend listen to this.
Yeah.
And yeah, girlfriend, hi.
Girlfriend.
Come out to your grandma. Get her to stop being a bigot. At least try.
Yeah.
But like not trying and doing this to your girlfriend, it's kind of mean.
Mm-hmm.
Feel very Canadian. Don't be mean.
Cut it out.
If you have a question for us, you can send it to dykingout@gmail.com. Or if you have a more extensive question, we can answer it for you on Jemmy, where we offer a bunch of things. We do video personal answers to questions. We do one-on-one interactions, hangouts, cameo style stuff. So you can find that at Jemmy, jemi.app/dykingout. You can follow us on all of the social medias at Dyking Out and on TikTok at Dyking Out Pod. And once I'm out of this hotel, I am committed to ticking and talking more.
Me too. I actually have a running list of ideas. What's holding me back? Just putting on makeup.
Right?
That's really it.
Truly, truly. Yesterday, I put on makeup because we had our Patreon hang and I posted on Instagram stories.
Oh, yeah. I
look
really
at me posting.
I was like, thank God Carolyn had makeup on and had a dyke beer and was feeling ready to make some content for us.
Gotta take advantage of these moments. And you can follow me at TGI Carolyn for what is bound to be a lot of beaver content coming your way. So stay tuned for that.
Love it. You can follow me at Melody Kamali on all social media.
Please do not murder anyone. I know you want us to talk about you on the podcast, but murdering someone, we'll know that you did it just for our attention and we won't be happy. So don't do it.
Yeah. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.